Good morning. It is good to be together this morning to worship. And for those of you who are expecting a Palm Sunday message or a Good Friday message, I'm sorry, that's not where I'm going this morning. I want to share something this morning that I've been thinking about a lot the last month, and just felt pressed to bring a message on it this morning. And I will admit I was questioning myself yesterday as I was studying a few times. Is this really what I'm doing on Palm Sunday? And this morning when Ben led that song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," that was just an affirmation from God that yes, this is exactly what God wanted me to share this morning. For an introduction, I invite you to Matthew chapter 27, just to look at one verse. And this is right after the crucifixion. Matthew 27 and verse 54. Matthew 27:54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" And notice this verse, as we often refer to the centurion who said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." But this verse makes it clear that it was also those that were with him. So it was more than just the centurion. And they were they lived in that time and era when Jesus was he was performing miracles, and there was no doubt a lot of things being shared about Jesus and things that he was doing, things that were happening. They were observing what was going on, and here he is. He's crucified, and after the crucifixion, they make this statement. "Truly, this was the Son of God." They had all the prophetic scriptures. They had all kinds of signs, and yet somehow they missed it, that this was really Jesus. This was really the Messiah. And after he's crucified, they say, "Oh, yeah, this really, truly was the Son of God." I've entitled the message this morning, "Signs of the Times." And I want to talk about some prophetic events that I believe we're seeing right now in the world. The next very big prophetic event that's going to happen is the rapture of the church, and also the second coming of Christ, which is we've been hearing about that. I've been hearing about it all my life, been reading about it and thinking about it. When's this going to happen? When are these things going to happen? And this morning, the scripture that I want to share is talking about the end times, and I believe that the signs of the end times are increasing. And the gist of the message is this morning, are we seeing them? Are we getting it? Do we realize what's happening? Or are we going to be like the centurion and his friends as like, "Oh, wow, that really was the Son of God"? Are we seeing the signs, and are they increasing our faith and our trust in God? Are they increasing our sense of urgency? Do we feel like Queen Esther did, that we're in the kingdom for such a time as this? Here we are, and these things are happening around us. And I'll quickly give the little disclaimer that I don't consider myself a prophet or the son of a prophet, and I have a lot of questions about future events and how things are going to play out. But I also believe that things are playing out now, that it's important that we see as things are unfolding. And I primarily this morning want to talk about and draw our attention to the conflict that is happening in Iran. Is it just another war like Russia and Ukraine, which is still raging on? Is this just another war like that? Matthew 24:6, Jesus said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." With the war that's been going on in Ukraine and Russia for a number of years, there's no one that I know of is really drawing any parallels to Scripture or saying here this was prophesied, other than putting it under this blanket of wars and rumors of wars that are going to happen before the end time. Let's go to, and my text this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah chapter 49. And I want us to think a little bit about Iran. Some people pronounce it Iran. I'm not sure what the proper pronunciation is. I hear it said both ways. But in 1979, which is some 47 years ago, if you're reading the news at all, why that you keep hearing this reference, for 47 years this has been going on. For 47 years that Iran has been shooting missiles all over the place. Well, 47 years ago is when the Shah fell out of power in Iran. There was a revolution, and the Islamic radicals took over. It's exactly what happened 47 years ago, 1979. And so when I say the Islamic radicals took over, they are Shia Muslims. About 10% of the Muslims in the world are Shia. And most of them are in Iran and Iraq. The other 90% of Muslims are Sunni Muslims, and most of them are in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, Indonesia. And overall, there's like 2 billion Muslims in the world. But the Shia Muslims in Iran and Iraq they believe different than the Sunni Muslims. There's some stark differences with them. And probably the biggest one is that they have an apocalyptic view of the world. They see in their eschatology, they're looking at the world as being totally destroyed in some way. But at that time, there's some Iman that went missing 1,000 years ago, who I don't even think they have a name for him, but he's going to come back and he's going to rule. And that's what they have, this really weird concept or belief of what's going to happen. And so they're constantly looking for this missing messianic Iman, and they think that he's going to come back in a time of great trouble. And so they believe that when the whole world's fighting in that war, that suddenly this Iman's going to appear. And so in their belief system, they're looking to create chaos in the world, because that's a good thing. That's going to usher in this Iman who's going to take over. And so that's the belief system that they have. They are, and that's why they constantly are firing missiles at Israel, at countries around them. They're just, for 47 years, they've been doing it. They're just shooting missiles all over the place. And they're trying to create chaos. They also have this proxy network set up in the world, which is, they have people that they arm with weapons and missiles and what have you. There's four big groups. One is Hezbollah in Lebanon. And right now in this war, if you follow, the Hezbollah in Lebanon is also firing missiles into Israel. And they have been doing it various times over the years, but since this war, they're again firing into Israel, and Israel's firing back at them. Well, Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. Iran is giving them all their arms and all their missiles. And then you also have Hamas in Gaza, and the Iraqi Shia militias are in Iraq, and you have the Houthis in Yemen, and they are all proxies of Iran. And Iran, since 1979, when these radicals took over, it is just a very wicked country. There are, and it's a closed country, and so the world many times is not even aware of what all is going on in Iran. But they have killed many, many of their own people. And just recently, many people were, just a month or so ago, it was January, I believe, thousands and thousands of people were out in the street protesting, and actually Donald Trump encouraged them to do it overthrow your government. So they go out in the streets protesting and they get gunned down. So they imagine a government that is just opening fire and killing. They estimate it could have been as many as 30,000 people of their own people were just gunned down in the streets. So it's a very, very wicked regime, and they are causing a lot of chaos in their own country and also all over the world. And in the last 47 years, there's been many, many incidents all over the world of attacks and what have you, and either they were from the proxies of Iran or they were Iran themselves and just causing all kinds of turmoil. And I didn't have time to look it up this morning. I wanted to yesterday and I forgot. But it's in Daniel, either chapter 9 or 10 somewheres. There's Daniel who had a vision and there was an angel came to him and he told Daniel, I was hindered for 21 days because of the prince of Persia. And Michael the archangel came and helped me so that I could get past the king of Persia. Or the prince of Persia. And so it's like an evil spirit, an evil being, evil angels that were there in Persia. And it seems like even today, maybe holding Persia just finds themselves in a great bondage by wickedness and evil. In Jeremiah 49, we want to look at verses 34 through the end of the chapter here, 34 through 39. The time frame of Jeremiah, this was written about 600 BC. And this is God speaking through his prophet Jeremiah. And as we read through these verses, in I believe every verse in this portion of scripture, it mentions Elam. And Elam is Persia, and Persia is today's Iran. So he has addressed, it is Iran that is being addressed in this portion of scripture. Every time you hear the word Elam, it is Iran that God is talking about through his prophet Jeremiah. I want to read the verses now, and then we'll take a closer look at them. But starting in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 34. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four corners of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. In verse 34, we have just simply Jeremiah saying, Jeremiah the prophet, and he's speaking against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah. And then verse 35, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. But let's look at verse 36 first, and then I want to come back to verse 35. Verse 36, I believe, is a reference to the 1979 revolution that I already talked about, where the radicals took over. And in that, if you study history, it will tell you that in 1979, that there was over 1 million people fled from Iran. And those people that fled went all over the world. They're in Europe. They're in the United States. They're in New York City. They're in Los Angeles. They are all over the world. And I believe that's what this verse is referencing. And evidence of that, when this war broke out, just a month or so ago, when this war broke out, there was Iranians all over the world cheering in the streets, cheering Bibi Netanyahu and Donald J. Trump for waging war on their home country. all over the world. They were on the streets and cheering and happy that somebody was confronting this evil regime that they had fled from. And so we have these Iranians that fled their country, and they are all over the world. And I believe that's what verses 36 is describing. And Jeremiah describes them as the outcasts of Elam. But now let's go back to verse 35. In verse 35 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might." Brothers and sisters, it is not Bibi Netanyahu. It is not Donald Trump. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord is allowing this to happen, is making this happen. It is the Lord that is bringing judgment to Iran. Jeremiah in this verse says, "I will break their bow." There's no mention of Bibi or Donald Trump. It's the Lord that is doing it. What is a bow? A bow is, there's a lot of us enjoy archery hunting. A bow is an offensive weapon, something we hold in our hands, and what do? We shoot arrows. But the bow itself is, all the bow is the system that launches the arrow. It's the arrow that does the damage if it hits the target. But here, Jeremiah says that the Lord is going to break the bow of Elam. Well, in ancient warfare, they used bows and arrows, and Elam was famous for, and many other countries as well, it was their form of waging war. But in modern day, it's what? It's missiles and missile launchers. And the missile launcher is like the bow, and the missile itself is like the arrow. And that is exactly what Iran has been doing for the last 47 years. They are just shooting missiles everywhere and anywhere and trying to create chaos and damage. And it's exactly what has been going on. And in this verse, God makes it clear that he is going to break the bow of Elam. And if you are paying attention at all to the news, it was Israel was in charge of, they led out in hitting certain sites and the United States' responsibility, and it was, and you can read this in the news, they were going after the missile launchers. They were going after the bow, and they're trying to destroy as many of, they claim now they destroyed 85, 90% of them, and there's still a few there because they still keep shooting missiles here and there. But they are going after the bow and trying to get rid of these missile launchers. But just keep in mind as we go through this portion of scripture that it's really God. And we in 2026, as God's people, we're watching this. And we're seeing this very prophecy unfold in front of us. It's exactly what is happening. Jeremiah also says here in this verse, he says that the bow is the chief of their might. And I believe this alludes to this great Iran for many, many years has been desperately wanting to get their hands on nuclear weapons. And they've been pursuing this, and they've just been pursuing it and pursuing it. And it's the thing that they so desperately wanted, and it's the thing that more rational governments realize that they may not have this. If they have this, it's going to be horrible. There's going to be a catastrophe in the world because of the way they're shooting these missiles. They will also shoot nukes if they have them. And so people were very, very concerned about that. When Israel and the United States went and bombed their nuclear sites, a few of them, and did all kinds of damage, and thought that they had really destroyed everything, but in the recent meetings they had before this war broke out, the Iranians bragged that we still have uranium and we have enough now to make nuclear weapons. And the belief is that they still had some. But when you look at this verse, one of the things that I'm amazed at when I read this verse, where God says, I will break the bow of Elam. I will do it. And did you notice how strange it was when this war broke out, that the navy of Iran, their ships, and their air force, their planes, they meant nothing. The ships were sunk and the airplanes were shot on the airstrips, and they were absolutely meant nothing in the war. It was the missiles and the missile launchers, and that's what is mentioned here in the scripture. No mention of ships, no mention of anything else. It's just the bow of Iran, the bow of Elam. That's what I'm going to destroy, and that is exactly what happened. It's also very interesting. Let's go down to verse 37. In verse 37, the scripture simply says this. It says, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies. I ask you the question this morning. Who are the enemies of Iran? And notice in the scripture, it's plural. It doesn't say enemy. It says before their enemies. And don't you find it amazing that you don't have to wonder very long who the enemies are of Iran, because Iran for many years has been calling Israel the little Satan and the United States the big Satan. And I was curious when this started, and it actually started the very year in 1979 when these radicals took over Iran. The very first time they were at the World Council, they used the expression there the very first year, and they've been doing it ever since. And so they themselves have proclaimed to the world for these last 47 years who their enemies are. It's Israel and the United States, and there's many others too, but they are their main enemies. And this has been going on for a long time. They describe their enemies themselves. And now, here we are, and the Lord is taking them down. He is breaking the bow, and he is using Iran's enemies. And so, Bibi Netanyahu and Donald J. Trump are being used by God to bring punishment to Iran and to destroy their bow and to take it out of the picture. Notice also in verse 37, notice I find this very interesting. In the middle of the verse here it says, and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger. God is angry, has been angry at Iran. There is something in God that apparently watching this for many, many years and seeing what's going on and killing and harming their own people, and a fierce anger has come up in God. And God says, I will deal with this. And he did. We're in verse 37. And he says, I will send the sword after them till I have consume them. He doesn't say, I will send the bow after them. He says the sword. And Israel and the United States have used multiple types of weapons in this war, but they are seemingly utterly consuming them. But keep in the front of your mind that it's God. God is doing this. God said, this is going to happen. And throughout all these verses, it's the word of the Lord says, I will do this. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Isn't it amazing to watch these world events and to know that our God is turning the hearts of a Jewish leader and the leader of the United States of America and using them to bring about his intended purpose? And isn't it also even more amazing than that to know that the prophet Jeremiah uttered these words many, many years before Jesus even came into the world? He prophesied that this was going to happen. And I can only imagine that Jeremiah had no idea what he was saying. He's saying this is, what did it mean to Jeremiah? We didn't even understand this until we start seeing some of these things happening. And it's like, wow, this is really, here it is. The scripture explains this. It also, in verse 37, there's also another part of this verse that I think is very important. It says, in the middle of the verse, it says, I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. Now notice the next phrase. It says, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. You remember what I said at the beginning about these proxies that Iran has? Do you know that they are also being wiped out? Like God is sending the sword after them, the ones that aren't in Iran, the ones that are operating out of other countries, operating out of Lebanon, and the Hamas is operating out of Gaza. And we all remember it happened back 2023, I believe, October was when Hamas invaded Israel and did horrible atrocity. They took captives and they murdered people. They killed people. They raped people. It was just an awful thing that happened. And shortly after that, Israel went into Gaza and waged war and just wiped out Hamas. It wasn't pretty. And Gaza is really lying in ruins even today. And so I believe you can come right back to this verse where God says, and I will send the sword after them, those that are not in Iran, those are operating in other areas of the world. And also in Hezbollah in Lebanon, do you remember what happened there back in 2024 when the Hezbollah, they were afraid to use their phones for fear that Israel was tracking them and would know where they were and would kill them. So they downgraded, they got pagers so they could stay in contact with their leadership, and they'd be paged to do this and to do that and what have you. And somehow, I don't know that Israel ever took responsibility for it, but it's pretty obvious that somehow Israel or someone else planted explosives in these pagers. And on a certain day, at a certain minute, all these pagers blew up, killing many people and injuring many, many others. And so here again was God reaching out beyond Iran and bringing devastation to the people of Iran and their proxies who are fighting in other areas. Now let's go down to verse 38. In verse 38, Scripture says, and I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princess, saith the Lord. And were you as amazed as I was on the very when you woke up? Or I guess we didn't wake up, the war, it happened in the morning, but when we got the news that Israel and the United States were waging war with Iran, were you as amazed as I was that Israel somehow had the information? Apparently they have an inside contact. And they had the information that the leader, the supreme leader of Iran, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and some of his nearly 40 princes were having a meeting above ground in daylight hours, and Israel's snuck in there and took them out. killed all these important people before they even knew there was anything happening, that there was even being a war waged against them. And I read about that happening, and I was like, that is totally amazing that that could happen. And in Iran, they have all these bunkers way below ground and where they hide from everything. But you just simply cannot deny the hand of God in that, and allowing that to happen, and allowing Israel to have the information that this meeting was taking place, and they went and they wiped out the supreme leader and so many of his princes, as it says here in the scripture. It says, "And I will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord." Some 600 years before Christ came, this prophecy was written. And a few weeks ago, we saw this happen in Iran. Later, just a week or two later, as they're trying to regroup and decide who's going to take over the government of Iran, and these radical clerics are all together and they're trying to figure this out, and they were actually voting on it, and Israel again hit them with missiles and took them out. More princes were destroyed. You can come right back here to Jeremiah 49, where God said, this is going to happen, and he made it happen. Now, in verse 38, it also, the beginning of the verse there, which I kind of skipped over, it says, "And I will set my throne in Elam." What does this mean exactly? I'm not totally sure, but it could mean a good government. I'm going to set my throne in Elam. We know that when Jesus comes back in the second coming, he's going to set up his throne in Jerusalem. This is not that, but the language is used here, "I'm going to set up my throne." Is it going to be a good government, or is it going to be a spiritual throne, perhaps? These are the reports out of Iran. They estimate that in 1979, when the Islamic radicals took over, there was about 500 Christians in Iran at that time. And now, 47 years later, current estimations are that there are millions of Christians in Iran. They are claiming that under this severe persecution, where they're not even allowed to have a Bible, that Christianity is exploding. And many, many people have been martyred for their faith in the last 47 years. Many people. They don't have the scriptures. They don't have they don't have the word. They don't have prophets there and missionaries sharing the gospel with them. But the stories that are coming out of Iran, that many people are having visions and dreams, and they are coming to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and are immediately facing persecution, and they have to keep it hidden. They're not allowed to, if anyone finds out, their life is in great danger. And so today there are reportedly millions and millions of Christians in Iran, and they are part of a flourishing underground church. And so maybe that's what God is talking about here. He's going to set up his throne in Iran. So we look at this scripture this morning, look at this prophecy from Jeremiah. And oftentimes with prophecies, you could argue, you could say, well, are you sure this isn't talking about something that happened a long time ago? Well, if you study history, you could point back to a time when Babylon invaded Elam and overthrew it. And that happened back... I have it here in my notes somewheres. In 6th century B.C., that's when that happened. Babylon overthrew Elam. And you can say, well, that's what this is referring to. But a lot of the other things don't fit with that happening with Babylon. But you cannot let it lay there, because This prophecy makes it so clear when you come down to verse 39. The scripture says, but it shall come to pass in the last days. And so before the coming of Christ was definitely not in the last days. Now we are living in the last days. And this is, I believe this prophecy is very prevalent and is very fitting. And we can see very clearly what is happening in Iran, that this was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah way back here before even the birth of Jesus. And then when in verse 39, Jeremiah says, but it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. And look at that verse and say, what does that mean? Well, the word captivity is a little deceiving. In Hebrew, the word captivity means those in exile. And it also means to a former state of prosperity. And so I look at that verse and what the scripture is saying, that this is going to come to pass in the last days, and I'm going to bring again these people that are spread by the four winds of the world, all over the world. Many of them will be going back to Iran, and God is going to restore Iran to a place of prosperity, perhaps, and people are going to come back. What kind of a government is going to be there is the big question. Of course, Israel and the United States are hoping that a friendly government will be set up, somebody that doesn't shoot missiles all over the place randomly, and hoping to bring chaos to the world. But we're not there yet. We don't know what kind of a government is going to be set up in Iran. So that is just a something I wanted to share this morning, and study it, think about it as you read in the news about what is going on. And I also, speaking of end time events, there's something else that is playing out that I want you to be aware of, and I want you to when you read about it in the news, think about it. And that is this whole thing about world peace. There are many Middle Eastern countries today aligning with the United States, and it's even happening in this war. There's countries, Middle Eastern countries around Iran that have been kind of friendly to Iran. We're fellow Muslims. We're kind of in the same boat here. And they didn't want to step in. They didn't want to do anything. And they weren't helping the United States or Israel. They're just sitting back watching. And after a while, Iran's firing missiles at them. And they're like, whoa, what's this? And now they're actually aligning themselves with Israel and the United States. And in 2020, President Trump and his son-in-law and a lot of other people came up with the Abraham Accords, which is a thing of world peace. We're gonna bring peace to all these Arab nations, and we're gonna bring everybody together. And they were fairly successful, but there's some countries, Saudi Arabia, some other countries didn't join the Abraham Accords. But now in 2026, of course, there was 4 years where Donald Trump wasn't in office, and now he's back in office. And now Donald Trump established, caught me by surprise, he established what he calls the Board of Peace. And he's encouraging leaders from all over the world to join this Board of Peace. And many have, but not all have as of yet. But they just had one of their first big meetings here a week or two ago. And this Board of Peace is not only, most people that are researching it and trying to figure it out, it's not only a political thing, but it's also an economical thing. It is tied into world economics and a world political thing, and it's, of course, the very name of it, the Board of Peace. It's about peace. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And Daniel 9:27 talks about the Antichrist confirming, he confirms a deal with many. And this whole thing of a world peace, and if you listen closely, Donald Trump's talking about it all the time. There's going to be a time like it's never been seen before. There's going to be a world peace. You know how he talks. But it is, the scripture talks about a world peace, and it says, be careful, beware, when there's peace, and everybody's saying peace, peace, look out, because there's going to be sudden destruction. And so I believe, brothers and sisters, that we are living in the end times, and we're seeing these things unfold before our very eyes. And it's important that we understand what is going on and that we are aware of what's happening and aware of the day and age that we're living in, and that we, it should be a motivator to us to live a very godly life and to serve our Lord God with all our soul, mind, and heart, with everything that we have. This God that is so big that he can have his prophet mutter these words, or utter these words, I should say, 600 years before Jesus, and then 2,600-700 years later, we see it happening with our very own eyes. That is amazing. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, and I close with a few verses in 1 Thessalonians this morning. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. And as we studied in Sunday school, how precious it is, and how it produces amazing results in those of us who apply it to our lives and believe it and live it out. And then we also, this morning as we looked at this message, we stand in amazement that Jeremiah, these words that he uttered so long ago, inspired by you, of course, that today we see these things being fulfilled in our very eyes in the world in which we live. And we know, Lord, that we definitely are living in the latter days. And we don't know how close the end is, but we know that it is drawing closer and closer every day. Help us, Lord, as your children, to be faithful and to serve you in a way that is not only pleasing to you, but is beneficial to the world in which we live, that others might see the way we live our lives and see the faith that we have in you and be drawn into your kingdom. I pray this morning for the people of Iran. Just think of all the devastation that's happened over there, the many people that have been killed through this war. And it saddens our hearts to see this unfolding. And at the same time, we see your hand in it. But we pray for the people. We pray for those that are Christians, that you would strengthen them, and that they would find the courage to proclaim you in these days in which they live there in Iran. And I pray for others who are not believers, that they would be drawn into your kingdom. Just pray for that a great spiritual revival would happen in Iran, as some reports already say it is happening. Just ask God that would grow and that more and more people would be born into your kingdom. I also, it's our prayer that peace could be obtained there, and that, again, prosperity could come back into the country and they would find a place of normal living again, and that they could again have a government that they could appreciate. I also, Lord, as we look at this morning, I just help each one of us, Lord. The government in which we find ourselves under is far from perfect, and we see its many faults. And at the same time, in comparison to what Iran has, Lord, we have a very good government, and we thank you for them. And help us, Lord, to submit to them where it is not against your will, and to pray for them, and to do everything that we can to be good citizens of this country. I thank you for each one of my brothers and sisters here this morning, and just ask that you would continue to guide and direct us. And as we leave here this morning, I ask that your grace, your mercy, and your peace would be our portion, and that you would dismiss us with your blessing. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.